Ephesians chapter 6, please open your Bibles. We're reading verse 10 that we began last Sunday, and we'll move on into verse 11 today. Paul says, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you would be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil." We noted last Sunday that Paul in the Epistle to the Ephesians teaches us what an ideal Christian life is to be like. And yet, despite our instruction from Scripture, despite the fact that we know that we are to live worthy, we know that we are to be filled with the Spirit of God, we know that we're supposed to be submissive to each other and to the Lord and to His Word, to those that are in authority over us. Despite all this, very often we find that our life is not in accordance and does not reflect the teaching of Scripture. And so we need to ask the question, why? When Paul is ending his epistle to the Ephesians that we've been in, as I noted, for several years now, as we're coming to the end of it, at the very end of it, he's given us a warning and an encouragement all at the same time. And there's a reason for this. The warning is that our Christian life is actually a war. And as we read on in this chapter, especially in this passage all the way down to verse 20, Apostle Paul reveals to us and he characterizes our Christian life, our Christian walk, as a war. And we usually don't like to talk about war. War is terrible. It has casualties. It's gory. It has a lot of blood. It has a lot of casualties. We don't like to talk about war, but yet spiritual war is what Paul says we find ourselves in on a daily basis. The encouragement that Paul gives us in this chapter here, in this ending of this chapter, is that even though we are in a war, the war has already been won. The victory is guaranteed. All we have to do is fight the daily battles. The big war is over, but the daily individual battles are won by us. The war is won by Jesus Christ. When he said it is finished on the cross, he meant that the spiritual war, the warfare against Satan, was over. But individual battles are ours. This warning for us and this encouragement is so that we would be prepared, so that we would be trained, so that we would be equipped, so that we would be armed, and so that the believer, even though we are human, and even though we're weak, and even though we fall very easily, despite all this, we are guaranteed not only the fact that the war has been won, but we are guaranteed strength by God Himself that He will be with us in battle, and the daily battle against temptation and sin, we can be victorious in the daily battles also. And that's what Paul begins to open up for us here. Back in chapter 5, we read and we discussed the fact that God the Holy Spirit, at the moment of our salvation, comes into our life. 1 John, those of you that come on Fridays, you remember chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The power of God in you is greater than the limited power of Satan. And Satan is the answer why we have so many problems in our life. Satan is the answer why we continue to sin in our life. Satan is the answer why we do not walk and live a life that is worthy of Jesus Christ. Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 5, describes Satan as the enemy of Christians. We have an enemy. Unfortunately, many of us as Christians live in this fantasy Disneyland world where we forget that there is a world outside of Disneyland. It's a kid's world. It's a child's world. Paul, earlier in Ephesians, remember he taught us that we are to be taught so that we would no longer live in the fantasy world of children, but that we would grow up and be strong. And that's what Paul is talking about here. But we have an enemy that is Satan. And in that text, Peter in 1 Peter 5:8 says that he compares Satan to a lion. Now, I don't know why he didn't use another animal. I think a lion is one of the most fearful animals probably around. But he could have used a tiger, or he could have used a cheetah, or he could have used any of many different animals, but he uses lion. And it says that Satan, as our enemy, he would like to defeat us. His goal is to defeat us. But we've been given victory. And ultimately, even if sometimes we sin, the war is won. Satan is defeated, which is why Jesus went to the cross. When we talk about Satan being our enemy, Scripture teaches us that Satan is our enemy because Satan is the enemy of Jesus Christ. Now you stop and think about it. Remember when Jesus, approximately 30 years of age, begins to minister publicly, what is the first thing he does? He goes to John the Baptist and he gets baptized. And the Holy Spirit descends and gives witness. God says, through the Holy Spirit that was visible in the dove, this is my beloved Son. And immediately after being baptized, it says that the Spirit of God led Jesus where? Into the desert. And there for 40 days and for 40 nights, he was tempted by Satan. Tempted in the sense that Satan continuously tried to get Jesus to sin. Because Satan knew that Jesus Christ was divine, that he was the Son of God. But in his flesh, as a man, if Satan could get Jesus to sin, then God's purpose in saving us would be destroyed. Satan knew the promise that God had made to Eve in Genesis 3:15, that your seed will crush the head of Satan. Satan knew the promises, and yet throughout history he tried to wipe out Israel, from whom the Messiah was supposed to come. When Jesus came, Satan tried to get, through Herod, all the baby boys in Bethlehem to get killed. Throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, Satan repeatedly tried to destroy Jesus by getting Jesus to act on his own, independent of his heavenly Father, to sin. And Jesus' strength came from where? It came from the Word of God. In the summary in the Gospels, when we read about Jesus being tempted, we only have three examples of Jesus being tempted by Satan with three specific verses in the Bible. But I'm sure Jesus had many other temptations in his life that Satan tried to bring. And Jesus said, if they hated me, if the world hates me, they will hate you. If Satan is the enemy of Jesus, then Satan is the enemy of the children of God. We are the spiritual children of God. And so we need to refocus our minds so that when we live our life, when we get up in the morning, when we go to work or to school or to whatever we do, we need to realize that we are at war. A soldier has no furloughs when he's at the front. He's supposed to be on alert 24/7, 24 hours a day. Even when he lays down to sleep and rest, he's supposed to have his armor next to him, his gun or whatever he happens to have. More soldiers become prisoner of war during the night when they are sleeping than during the day when they are in the middle of a battle. And so we have an enemy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, you as Christians know what? You know the Scripture. And through Scripture, because you know Scripture, you know the schemes of Satan. And that's the same thing that Paul says here in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that so that you would be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. You know, and you should not be ignorant, Paul says to the Corinthian church. You know what another word for ignorant means? It means a person that does not have knowledge. We think that, and we want to think of ourselves as being wise, right? Paul says we are to be wise in the knowledge of the Lord. And if we have Scripture that teaches us how Satan operates, then we are wise. And we can stand up against Satan. But it begins with a knowledge. When Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, he says, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, Timothy, be a good soldier. I guess there's theoretically a bad soldier for Jesus Christ, is there not? If we do not know, if we are ignorant of Scripture, if we are ignorant of how Satan works. Another way to say ignorant is foolish. A person that does not think about this thing. We do not think of ourselves as being in a daily war against Satan. And that is why we so often fall, and that is why so often we are tempted and we fall into sin. You see, Eve, when Satan came to her and he tempted her, she relied on her own strength rather than on the word of God. God's word was, do not eat of the fruit. Instead of listening with her ears, she looked with her eyes and she saw that the fruit, whatever it was good looking and apparently good to taste. And so there is a wise Christian soldier and there is a foolish or an ignorant one. Back in chapter 4 of verse 11 and 12 of Ephesians, Paul says, you want to be wise? Come to the church. Come on a weekly basis. Come believing. Come with an open heart, with open ears, open eyes, open mind. And listen to the word of God as you are taught by your pastors and teachers. And look at the result. He gave to you, to the church, gifts. The word of God, when it's preached here, is a gift to you. And if you don't come to church, if you don't come to worship, you stay at home or you do something on Sunday, you're rejecting the gift of God that he offers you every time the church meets. But look, he says he gave to you, pastors and teachers, to equip you, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, to come into the unity of the faith, to come to the knowledge of the Son of God, to become a perfect man, to be of the stature and the measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, not to be like children that the wind blows away with every different type of doctrine, but instead to speak in love, to grow up, and to be obedient to the head, which is Jesus Christ. When you're doing these things, you are a good soldier. When you're doing these things, Galatians chapter 5 says the Holy Spirit of God transforms your way of thinking and your speaking and you're living, and the Holy Spirit of God produces fruit in your life, love and peace and joy, long-suffering, etc., etc., etc. And so the reality is that it is here when you come on a weekly basis that as a soldier of Jesus Christ, you're taught, you're trained, you're exercised, you're given weapons so that when you leave and you go out and you live your life, between now and tonight, and between tonight and Thursday, and between Thursday and Friday, and between Friday night and Sunday, we would be out in the world fighting the war. Now, Paul also is not writing about something that's theoretical. For Paul, this was the experience of his life. Paul knew what it was like to have Satan as an enemy. There was one occasion when Paul says, I prayed three times so that God would liberate me from the attacks of Satan. And God says, my grace is enough or sufficient so you would have victory in your life over whatever this temptation was. And so Paul says, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and use the strength of the Lord. Paul knew, as you read the Acts of the Apostles, the life of Paul, everything Paul went through, every city where he went to preach, there were riots, there was persecutions, he was stoned, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was bound up in chains and sent to Rome where he was eventually, by the decree of Nero, beheaded just outside Rome on the Appian Way. Paul knew what it meant to have Satan as your enemy, and he writes from experience here. So not only Jesus had enemy of Satan, not only Paul had Satan as an enemy, but we have Satan as an enemy. And Paul says, be smart and know that you have an enemy that wants to destroy you. And this is a warning as well as an encouragement. Jesus, in Revelation, he gives the same type of warning and encouragement
to the churches there in the first three chapters of Revelation. To the suffering church in the city of Smyrna, which, by the way, exists even today, 21 centuries later. Jesus says, I know. Jesus knows about our enemy. He said, it is finished. I know your enemy. But to the church in Smyrna, Jesus says, I know, and I will reward you if you hang in there and if you're faithful, if you fight the battle to your last day. Be faithful, and I will give you the crown of life. To the church in Thyatira in Revelation 2:25, he says, I know. I know you have problems, but hold on. Hold on and be steadfast. Hold on until I come, Paul says. John says they're writing to the church. The psalmist declares, the Lord is my shepherd. What that means is he found his strength in the Lord, in the power of the Lord. To the church in Philadelphia, Revelation 3:8, the missionary church, Jesus writes, you have a little bit of strength, just a little bit. But with this little bit of strength, you can go through the open door that I have opened to you and accomplish great things. And I want to close today with the thought we'll pick up next time about the power of the might of God and the armor of God is our maximum strength. If we put all the energy we have, all the strength we have, we are unable to stand against Satan. He is stronger than we are. He is wiser than we are. But with the least amount of the power of Jesus Christ in our life, like the church in Philadelphia, you have just a little bit of power, but that little bit of power, in Greek it's dunamis, it's the word that we get dynamite from. With Jesus' power in your life, you're dynamite. More power than Satan. With the least amount of Jesus' power, you can be victorious over Satan and over his schemes. And we'll pick up with this thought next Sunday. May God bless his word. Amen.